Blessed be the Lamb. Father, we magnify You. We worship You. We glorify You. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Glory and honor. Praise You, Jesus. Praise You, Jesus. Praise You, Jesus. Worthy, Lord Jesus. Worthy, Lord Jesus. Worthy, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Da sivrato le macchie te, monde le frasi ti ama, ho ciemblase le macchio loco te, menschi ti. Come unto me, wait in my presence, saith the Spirit of grace. Know that it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. These times are ordered and orchestrated to bring you strength and refreshing from above, saith the Spirit of grace. These things will come on this wise, that you wait on me and allow me to saturate you and bring forth the strength that has a refreshing inside of it. And an anointing that breaks the yoke, saith the Spirit of grace. So now begins season after season. But receive this one in refreshing. Receive this one in refreshing, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Jesus, we exalt You. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank You, Father. Well, we'll do that. We'll do that. But You just come on down and find a place to worship. What He's saying is this. If you'll receive it, He's starting to move like this. That it's important for us to understand that He wants to come and saturate us in His presence. That kind of presence requires waiting on the Lord. And in it, He can do more for you than you could possibly receive with 1,000 hours of counseling. Or it's worth more than $1 million to you. Hallelujah. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke, people. Hallelujah. It's only the anointing. Let's wait on Him. Hallelujah. He told me today this. He said, tell them it is free, it is vast, and it begins now. It's now. He wants you to receive it now. Hallelujah. So, let's just step into this. Hallelujah. Let's just step into it. See what God does. Hallelujah, Jesus. We exalt You. Glorify You, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. We exalt Your holy name. Understand this, saith the Spirit of the Lord. Usually when a war like this is fought, most do not understand. When things begin to seem to dry up on one side, there's on the other side a place offered to you of imperishable peace and truth. And it's upon this line that the enemy fights and tries to dry up everything around you to get you to believe the things that you see and hear and feel. But know this, that on the other side of these things is what you're asking me for. And what is you're asking me for is more of my love and more of my peace and more of my presence on you, continually, saith the Spirit of grace. So pay no or little attention to your atmosphere. But know this, your atmosphere is subject to change moment by moment as I invade your world, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. For this is, as I said, a great ordination time for the intercessors and those who will take up my calls and pray for my body and pray for the ushering in of the things that I desire to do. For surely I have set you as watchmen on the wall, both male and female, to stand up for what is right in the Spirit and let nothing go amiss. For it is you and through your authority that I come and ask of you that I could glean from your prayers and the offering of praise that you lift up in the hard times, that I'll cause your authority to be the thing that I run with in the church and cover the little ones so that none is lost and so that the vision stays intact until the end, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We glorify you. We glorify you. Hallelujah, Jesus. We exalt you. Hallelujah. For the weapons of your warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So now know this, that through your prayers and through your intercession, know that the thought patterns that I'll bring one body together in towards the end of this and bringing everything to a culmination to where that revival does truly rage in this place. For I need one thought, one mind, and one accord as I orchestrated in the book of Acts. And know this to you intercessors. You'll be the ones who'll stand on the sidelines and gather up all the thoughts and heap them into one place and bring all the thoughts of all the people together through your prayers. For I'm desiring a body to work as one and one mind in one accord. And in these things, all things are possible. All things are possible to me, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lord. I glorify you. I glorify you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glorify you. I exalt you. Yes, Lord. All right. I think for the time being, we could probably put the lights back up and just rejoice a little bit. Hallelujah. Glory. Whew. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Jesus is wonderful. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. I worship you. I worship you. Glorify you. Worthy Jesus. Worthy Jesus. All things are possible. Yes, all things are possible. We glorify you, Jesus. Hallelujah. It's usually not what somebody knows that keeps them from going forward. It's usually the strongest dominating part in you. And that's beyond knowledge. It's beyond your smarts. It's usually in the realm of the emotion. It's even when you determine something. When you determine you're going to look like that. Nice, good-looking guy. In runner's world. Or in the muscle magazine. That willpower goes good for a while until everybody takes a McDonald's break. And you say, oh, that six-pack can wait. Give me a double cheeseburger. Because something stronger than your head knowledge takes over. Well, I'm going to be the strongest Christian in 2009. 25 services later, MIA, missing in action. It wasn't the cheeseburger that got you. It was emotions that were stronger than your knowledge. You knew that God was your sufficiency. You knew that He loved you. And you knew how to quote the Word. And you knew how to pray in tongues. And you knew how to do all of the above in alphabetical order and back up the list again. The only thing is, emotions, if they were like a light switch when you had the bad ones and they were saying, this is a real bad day. And this doesn't feel like the goosebumps I had last Wednesday night or last Sunday. Or I can't feel the prosperity. I can't feel it. I can't see that six-pack anymore. All I feel like is a little kind of flesh trip would do me good. It'd make the pain go away. If emotions were like a light switch and you could just walk over, if you could just determine that emotions go away, that's not how He set you up, God. That's why romance starts a little trickle, a little tickle of the emotions. Before it's a full-blown love affair, it has to begin somewhere. God knew this, and this is what Satan in his mastery also knows. That even with you being an astute Word of God Christian and having doctrine after doctrine after doctrine sown in you, so much so that you could preach this as good as me or teach it. Usually where He stops the intercessors or those who are supposed to be real strong from going to the next level or just staying consistent is in that place that's stronger than willpower. It's stronger than head knowledge. It's in the realm of the emotion. Because that's why He said in what He said a few moments ago, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. That Scripture, you know. And bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now when He said that in 2 Corinthians 10, He was talking about a warfare like I'm describing now that comes not just with thought, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. These are thoughts with an attitude. You know how when you think something, some things you think and you know it's just a thought. But some things carry a feeling with it. It carries an emotion with it. So if it's allowed to stay very long, It builds up. A nest egg. And so he said that the warfare was on this line, that the thoughts grew to a place where they began to be so strong that they set up a citadel or a fortress against the knowledge of God. So he was describing something that would be almost, if you didn't watch it, it could almost be so strong that it would set up something in your life so strong that even your head knowledge couldn't whip it. You ever known something and said, I know, even when somebody sits down and explains, you know that's not the way you're supposed to be thinking. I know it. Oh, why are you doing it? Because I feel like it. And I can't get the feeling off of me. This is just the way I feel. When those things come, logic won't work. It has to be combated with something that God instituted for you that was equally as opposing to it. Because if you could switch it off like a light switch, that'd be okay. Then you could go about your day. But your emotions, your human emotions, are not set up that way. They can't be flipped. But they can be turned. They can be gradually turned. This is why in Ephesians 5 that he talks about, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And then he goes on to describe how you do that. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and in spiritual songs, singing and making melody before the Lord. So this is why worship is so important, because the worship leader, can you imagine this? The one who comes and opposes you was once, according to Ezekiel, the anointed cherub. Meaning he had a throne room invitation. You know those Old Testament descriptions of the holies of holies, where the tabernacle was built out of sheepskin, and no Gentile could go into the outer court, but only the Jews. There were the outer court. Then there were the inner court. And then there was the third place, which is the holies of holies. In that holies of holies, that's our born-again spirit now. There's a place in the middle of that that Moses was told to fashion an ark, the Ark of the Covenant. And two golden cherubs were to stretch their wings out and just barely touch at the center. They were to cover the mercy seat. Now, Ezekiel tells us that he, Lucifer, was once the anointed cherub that covereth. So he must have been. Probably so, might have been. One of those angels that in the beginning was portrayed to cover the very mercy seat of God, the very throne room of God. The Word says he walked up and down the fiery stones of fire, and that he had his, in the day that he was created, his pipes or his orchestration was built within him. He didn't have pipes hanging out of him. But he had an innate ability. If you just started talking to him, it was like music was coming out of him. And you got a feeling. You get around him, and in heaven, he could turn you on to the glory of God. The only problem is, in all of his beauty and all of everything that he was created to do for God, he began to turn it to himself. And his emotion, the emotion that he brought, was so overwhelming that it tackled and overthrew one third of the emotion, one third of the angels in their emotions. And they begin to say, logically, wait a minute. Let's see, logically. That guy created you. And let's see, he created you, and you're wanting me, to follow you because you're saying you're God, or that you're going to take over his, you're going to ascend. The word said, he said, I will ascend above the heavens or the heights of the Most High. Now logically, that being sitting up there created you, and yet you say you're going to eventually be stronger than him. Now logically, no angel falls for that. I mean, if a grasshopper's got a one cell in his being, he doesn't fall for that. But somehow, in his ability to create an atmosphere, logic to them was thrown to the wind and said, okay, when I'm around you, you pull on me. You pull on me. And I'll divorce truth, if that be truth, to follow something that I feel more than something that I know. And eventually, however long it took him, decades or millennials, however long it took him, eventually they were all beguiled to a place where they all walked out. One third of them. And the Word says in Hebrews that there's an innumerable amount of angels. Means we can't count them. So one third of an uncountable, innumerable group was maybe billions of them. Who knows? Billions of them followed this angelic being. And you'd have thought that they would have said, hold up. Hold up. Are we idiots? We were created by the one that we're forsaking. But a feeling. He's a mastermind. And his ministry was to affect the worship of heaven. And in worship are the greatest feelings that a human being can possibly experience. He took those and perverted them and pointed them towards a group, a clique, a heresy that he could pull into himself. And then he learned that the human beings that God created had feelings also. The beauty of the feelings for romance unto marriage, the beauties of a feelings of being able to worship God and know that God loved you, and the euphoria of God taking you to a place where you felt His love wrap around you. Those feelings were the same things that caused man to say, yes, I will willfully and wantfully praise and worship you because you are God. He found out almost immediately that our weakness was this, that we had a part in us that could choose one way or the other, and most of that choosing was based on how we felt. And this is where Paul cautioned us and said, casting down imaginations for the weapons of your warfare. You've got to know that the weapons of your warfare are not carnal, meaning you can't resist it in the natural. You cannot, oh, I'm locking my mind down against this thing. Guess what? Lock it down all you want to. But if you don't do something about the standing emotion, you'll go over here and it'll follow you. It'll follow you. What was the combatant? Of course, the Word of God is. Of course the Word of God is. But simultaneously coupled with it as a friend that sticketh closer than a brother is something that comes almost immediately to our emotions. It's an inoculation where Paul said, don't be drunk with wine wherein is excess. Meaning I can slug down a bunch of, you know, Budweisers to try to make it to the morning. But guess what? When the morning sun comes up, I'm still going to be dealing with this emotion. Is there something else? He said, there is excess in that, meaning it doesn't fix the problem. Then what does? He said, but be drunk, be filled with the Spirit. How do I do that? Spend time anesthetized in His presence, speaking to yourselves, I love you, Father. I worship you. Singing in the Spirit and making melody in your heart. In other words, worship brings an atmosphere that begins to be to Satan. He was once heaven's orchestrator. He's a Superman when it comes to leading people into an atmosphere. That's why, my God, if you ever were part of the drug culture or every part of the atmosphere that goes along with those rock concerts, and I mean, there's something there that just, it just, your skin's crawling with electricity. It's an atmosphere. His kryptonite is this. When you begin to worship Him and magnify Christ, I love you, Jesus. I worship you. I know that I've got to couple something together with this head knowledge I've got. It's heart knowledge, all right. I know the Word, but just knowing the Word alone, if I don't choose to turn this emotion, eventually will cause me to go in the wrong direction. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. A third of the angels did because they didn't turn it. They didn't say, wait a minute. I feel like going over there with you. And this feels like a joyride. And you're saying I'll be promoted higher in your kingdom than the status He's given me. But let me walk up here closer to the throne where I can feel Him. Because in this emotion of worship, it destroys, it completely debilitates, it destroys. Jesus said, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained praise. He was quoting Psalms 8, and David said, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength. That thou mayest steal, that means to shut up, that thou mayest steal the avenger and the enemy. Meaning when the emotion comes at you, there's something programmed by God. We think of it as adoration to Him, and we pay it to Him because we love Him, and we get caught up. But simultaneously, a dualistic thing is taking place. Not only are you worshiping God, but programmed into worship is Psalms 8 that Jesus quoted and said, this is what happens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, that's not the little ones that we sent next door. He was talking about the babes that were born in Christ that had the new nature on the inside, who had the innocence of a new nature that now could worship God spirit to spirit. Out of that new nature resounds a power that's so great that it has the ability that while you're worshiping, not even concentrating on Him, 5 minutes ago He was tormenting your mind. Now you turn your worship to God, set yourself on Him. And when that is going on, it goes out, God in it. Well, of course, how does that happen? Jesus said, if I cast out Satan by the finger of God, then God is coming to you by the Holy Spirit, He said in another verse. The finger of God is the Holy Spirit. When you worship God, the Holy Spirit not only comes to you, He begins to march and clear the air. 5 feet away from you, 10 minutes ago, was a spirit. It walked in your kitchen with you, drove your car, went to the restroom with you. You didn't believe it, but you couldn't separate it. It told you, you're failing. He doesn't love you. She doesn't love you. You shouldn't go to that church. There's nothing happening. Where's revival at? Have you ever seen it take place? Blah, 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 blah. You're going to go broke. You're not going to make it. You're going to be on the street. You just, you know, on and on and on and on and on. All your positive thinking books will only get you so far. You can think positive, but you'll be mad about it. Yes, bless God. I want to tell you something, Terry. I love you so much. And just when I'm headed to the door, don't get in my way, okay? but I love you. And I'm positively speaking that I might throw you aside if you stand in my way. But I can worship. And it comes and it pours water on the doctrine. Oh, that feels so good. Yes, you said to love my neighbor as myself. Oh, God, this feels like a drink of water. Oh, man, I feel it. I feel it now. Oh, yeah. I won't be smart. I won't be a smart aleck when I say, I love you. I'll truly mean it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How did I get that way? I worship you, Jesus. I love you. I love you. I worship you. Somewhere in all that, Mr. Bad Guy has to be pushed aside by the Holy Spirit to make room for your atmosphere to come and minister life to you. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Father, we love you so much. Oh, how we exalt you. Glory and honor. Praise and thanksgiving. You are exalted, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was talking to Dave. He said that, and I've forgotten to tell you guys about this, but he had an invitation. And by the way, he greets everybody. So Dave says hello. And he says that he got an invitation to ORU because they had a miracles, signs, the class would call signs and wonders. And so one guy was saying in the class, I guess the guy was in the class, he goes, really, the only thing about the signs and wonders class is there is no signs and wonders. So there's nothing happening here. And so they really asked him to come over because however the connection lined up there, that they knew that he worked in miracles. And they asked him to come over and to teach the class, but to bring forth a demonstration. And so he came over, or went over, the week prior to Jim's meeting. And he said, of course, he said, you know, all these university college kids are coming into the class and they're smacking their gum and they're throwing their notebooks down and they're like, this is another class, you know. So they don't know who this is that's in the front of the class. And he had brought Janet in to begin to worship. And she started playing and started worshiping. And he guess what anointing fell? And so he said, that weeping anointing. And he said the kids started weeping. And after they started weeping, then he says, then the miracles just started, you know, taking place. And then he got a word of knowledge. He said there's this one guy that's, and of course he was describing somebody that everybody knew. He said, you know, you've got this anger management problem and it's like destroying your life. And he said he's describing it and on and on and on. He's just picking, you know, just reading this guy's mail, and the guy comes running up and throws himself over Dave and starts crying like a baby, and the miracles are taking place and people are weeping and stuff. And so that's one of those ones where you just step in and they say, my God, who was that masked man, you know? And he came and demonstrated what signs and wonders. There were three doctors from the university, three PhDs sitting in the back of the room, and they're asking him to come back and do another teaching. So that's the best way to teach a signs and wonders class, is just get up and do signs and wonders. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So he sends his greetings. Hallelujah. How many of you love the Lord tonight? Well, Father, we love you. And we thank you for the glory that you came with tonight. And that you're coming with moment by moment. Again, for us to recognize, the Lord wants you to know this. Simplicity of it is this, that this saturation anointing that He has for us is totally free of charge. And it is so vast that there's no way to exhaust it. And He wants you to believe that it begins for you and for us now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Father. We glorify you and worship you. Thank you for it, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, how many of you would believe with me that we just have so much set aside that we are able to give. That we just, our reservoir is so full. As Gay says with, how do you say it? How do we confess? Many baskets left over. Many baskets left over. Hallelujah. We repudiate the knowledge of this world. There is something out there called famine. Hallelujah. We speak life. Glory be to God. And the hearts, there's one place in the Word that said that the hearts of the children would be turned to their parents, like the rebellion would be turned and turned inward, be healed. That the hearts of the people respond to God, like in the book of Acts. Hallelujah. In the book of Acts, there was just an anointing that people just wanted. They just wanted to give. And I believe that's the heart of a revivalist. Hallelujah. So, Father, I love You and I praise You. These are supernatural days. We can't turn aside from that. Whatever we get, whatever we receive, has to be on this line, the supernatural realm. And I worship You and praise You, and I thank You for healing their finances and opening up all kinds of windows of opportunities in every direction for them, Lord, and supplying and meeting all their need according to Your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So now, Father, we receive this with thanksgiving and with blessing in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory. There's buckets. Oh, the good-looking Ralph is back. How many of you know he's played hooky Sunday? I'm telling on you, Ralph. Did you miss? There was a little drop in the anointing. Yeah. A thimbleful. No. Kathy's the one that... No. Kathy's the one that did that, Ralph. He's still got a lot of redneck in him. He'll pull his knife on you. Even on the preacher, man. On the preacher. My God. Hallelujah. All right. How many of you have been blessed tonight? Okay. So would you stand with us? All right. We're going to pray a simple blessing over this offering and over you, and then commit you to the Lord. Father, thank You for the grace of God and for the exhortation that came. And knowing that we're headed towards great, great and mighty days ahead, bless now Your people in this offering, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.